Australian Bible Church, July the 25th. Our focus is Christ. The Word is the sole authorized one given to mankind by God Almighty. The Bible. And today in that Bible, we look to Isaiah 1. And the title, 10 Instruments to the Overture for Redemption and Rescue. It's as if it's a symphony. And we're going to be looking at 10 instruments. From Isaiah 1, in the overture. And what is it an overture to? The overture to or for redemption and rescue. Redemption and rescue. Tasting Isaiah 1 as an introduction. And in our first look at it, we take a major part, verses 1 to 8. We are dealing here, we find, with the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods. He looks like it, and he acts like it. Hear, O heavens, give ear, for the Lord has spoken. I've nourished and brought up children. They've rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner. The donkey, its master's crib, but Israel doesn't know. My people don't consider. So, we go on in this first segment. Sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity, a breed of evildoers, children who are corrupt as they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked me to anger, the Holy One of Israel. They've turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. That's the Lord. I don't want to have to strike you anymore. My heart longs for your deliverance. I've already had to discipline you. Why should you be stricken again? Why do you keep it up that you're so low down? The head is sick and the whole heart faints. The sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness in it. So here you see the greatness, the grandeur, the majesty, the heart of the Lord. There's no soundness but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's what the body of Israel is looking like. And the Lord cannot hide it much as he would like to. He has to have another way. The facts, the realities must be faced. They have been closed up, it goes on, or bound up, or soothed with ointments. Your country is desolate. And then, so the daughter of Zion is left, a booth in a vineyard, stricken, smitten. Unless the Lord of hosts, it goes on as we move into the next phase, which really brings out the solution to a question which troubles people very often. Does God hide himself? Is he nowhere to be found? And they have this feeling he's hidden, he's not available. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have become like Sodom. We should have been like Gomorrah. The Lord has a special mercy, a special place, a special remedy. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What a slash that is. He's calling Israel, his chosen people, facing the facts phase. Sodom and Gomorrah. So much are they like Sodom and Gomorrah, that he's going to call them by those names, you rulers of Sodom. Wow, what a terrific indictment. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams, offerings with no sincerity, offerings with nominalism and formalism. I've had enough. When you appear before me, who has required this at your hand to trample my courts? If it's going to be hypocritical nominalism, have you really been called to that? Is that the sacrificial certainties that you're supposed to be looking at? I cannot endure the sacred meeting. Well, there you have it. We are now looking at why God seems so secret, so hidden. He cannot endure false, fallacious, formalistic, nominalistic religion. Even using his name, it is almost unbearable. Your new moons and appointed feasts, all this paraphernalia, little more than pretense. Now look at this verse 15, which is so fascinating. When you spread out your hands, here they are, spreading out their hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. The hiding is deliberate, devastating, and due. The world is not voting for God, one president. Seeing what he'll provide, what he will provide. Well, take a look at chapter 2 for a moment. Enter into the rock, verse 10, and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, the lofty looks of man, whether the one part or the other. The lofty parts of man shall be humbled, the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be glorified in that day. And it speaks of the glory of the Lord, and it being revealed in the vast day of judgment. The lofty, 17, the loftiness of 2. 17 of 2, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the haughtiness of man brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. And look at verse 22, which alas, the New King James has spoiled, adding words which aren't there. A way they do sometimes in interpreting, but you can't really do it. It doesn't say sever yourselves from such a man as the New King James has. As the authorized has it, it says, sever yourselves from man. Those are the words. And there are no such words as such. And that brings out the full glory of verse 22. Sever yourselves from man. For of what account is he? That's what is written. There is no question. And the authorized has it right. Sever yourselves from man. For what account is he? Don't be taken up with the mysteries and the marvels of this wonderful world with its woeful, wicked, non-wisdom masquerading as wisdom. The hiding is only apparent. Come clean! And what does it say in 1:18? 1:16, wash yourselves. This is the preliminary. Make yourselves clean and be reasonable. Look at yourselves. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. cease to do evil. Be sensible. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Be normal. Be normal for what is spiritual. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead the widow for the widow. But then he says, listen. And now he comes to the phenomenal offer of the and the deadliness of denial, those two sides of it, the ultimates, and the great ultimate, the gospel, the incarnation of the eternal word of God as man, so that for man he might on behalf of man, as many as received him, as John 1 is quick to add, he brings forth this tornado of truth. But this truth, it's that he did it. He took action. He doesn't just dwell on the factual horrors, he's dwelling on the featured mercy. Absolute transcendent mercy. And even in Isaiah 1, we're being introduced to, come now. Come. And let us reason together. God is a very reasonable God. And the human race is a treacherous body, long rebelling, the flood overflowing it, and floods of sins over, of false prophecy overflowing it, as Christ predicted, and the news constantly shows. But come now. Let's reason together, says the Lord. He has an offer, startling, profound. Though your sins be as white, though your sins be as scarlet, extreme, profound, like a pack of wolves howling. Though that should be the case, even though that should be the case. And he has said much along the lines of that being the case of this fallen race. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be, yes, white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The profundity of the offer. You turn to 54 for a minute. See, this is read to us. Do not fear. You won't be ashamed, neither be disgraced. For you'll not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will remember the reproach of your widowhood, not any more. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. It's not somebody else. Israel was the precursor. He's called the God of the whole earth. This is for you too. The Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you. For the mountains shall depart, And they will, as in Isaiah 51:6. My kindness shall not depart. There is the contrast. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. And we have the new covenant enveloping all. Oh, you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. In righteousness you shall be established. We turn back to Isaiah 1. And we read some of the blessings in chapter 2 that shall come to pass in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And it goes on to speak of the specific blessings for Israel, which, as we've seen in the general case, go beyond. But in the particular case, Jerusalem, yes, O Jerusalem, shall be established. He shall judge, verse 4 of chapter 2, between the nations, rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, because the peace is going to come. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And so we have this profundity right back to Isaiah 1. And it reaches forward even to Isaiah 54. And we turn back to Isaiah 11. I turn on rather from 1. And there we see there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him. And so in the different parts of Isaiah, you have the different revelations of the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, that is our Christ. The Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. His delight is in the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity. And in that day, when the day finally comes and reaches its climax in the millennium, there shall be, verse 10 of chapter 11 of Isaiah, there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, and his resting place shall be glorious. What is his resting place? Redemption is his resting place. How vastly it impacts on Israel. Look at 52, verse 21. Therefore, please hear this, you afflicted, and remember all this applies to us except for the land part of it, and the sequence part of it, and the special parts of it, but the general part is for all. He's the God of the whole earth, as we read. Therefore, please hear this, you're afflicted and drunk, but not with wine. Thus says the Lord. Look at the tenderness of the Lord. The Lord and your God, who pleads the cause of his people. See? He's well aware of all that the Israel has suffered. What else can it do until it returns to the Lord, its own soil? It has. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it. So we move right in towards the millennium, and even now it is beginning, though they still have to repent, as in Zechariah 12. And everyone still has to repent, and there is no difference. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I will put the cup of trembling into the hand of those who afflict you. There's going to be a complete reversal of roles. And there will be a complete reversal of roles, like a Volkswagen to a Rolls Royce, as the people of God enter into their rest. Now, in spirit, then on all sides and all things and all facets in the jewel of salvation. I'll put in the hand of those who afflict you who have said, lay down and let us walk over you, Isaiah 51:23. And you have laid your body like the ground and as a street for those who walk over. The grace and the mercy of God is not like that, but for the recalcitrant. It is for those who will not accept their position, will not accept. Come, let us reason together. Oh, how absolutely beautiful, reasonable, piteous. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That crystalline, beautiful, glittering freshness and reality and compromise. Though they be red like or the crimson, they shall be as well. Natural, a natural thing. God became man. Christ dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. They shall be as well. How beautiful are the works of God. How beautifully it moves through Isaiah 11:52-53. Oh, 53, but our post is Isaiah 1. We will look at the introduction to 53, to the God of the whole earth. I repeat it, this wonder. Never forget it. Let it embed itself in you. Let it be a rejoicing. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And there's one other thing I'd like to do, and that is to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. There is a certain parallel here. We deal, just as we did in Isaiah 1, with the greatness and the grandeur and the wonder of God. In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So this is showing you the wonder of God, that this God, not some other God, the God, the one who didn't create out of nothing, himself coming from nothing, there's nothing to that. It's time that that fairy tale should be dismissed. They used to have Diana of Ephesus, you remember, in the days of Paul. They worshipped her. We have Darwin of delinquency, a departure from all wisdom with a dribble. Nothing to start with and nowhere to produce from. But coming back to reality, to God, you know, the one that did it, it had to be done, you know. It didn't just do itself using nothing as an accomplice. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. So we have the same majesty, the same wonder. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. What beautiful categorization. If it's a made thing, he made it. He was the only maker. Nothing in the category of made exists, except through, because, and from the maker. Surprising. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's our God. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. That's because of its sin. It fell. It's narrated in Genesis. It's shown again in Romans 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. How ghastly that there should be such a situation for mankind. The fallen mankind, remember? The darkness didn't comprehend. I don't understand. It is pathetic. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And it goes on to tell us of the light which came from him. But look at this. He was in the world, verse 10 in John 1, and the world was made through him, and the world didn't know him. What? You're telling me? Yes. This God came to earth as man. The earth that was made through him, not through some bogus fable such as Paul predicts and Christ predicts, the fables, the false Christ, the false ideas. He was in the world and the world was made through him. Well, that's great. That's tremendous. That's terrific news. But the world didn't know him. Ah, so that's why we have all these viruses and floods. Why we have all these false religions using his name. The world didn't know him. What utter, almost incredible calamity. Obviously, there must be enormous consequences. Yes, there are. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we have the unspeakable horror of final rebellion. We have the spoken wonder of incarnate mercy. We have the utter simplicity. As many as received him, to them gave he the authority to become the children of God. Cease from men, says Isaiah 2, whose breath is in his nostrils. The survivors, look what happens to them in Isaiah 1, verse 30. For you shall be as a terebinth tree that fades, and as a garden that has no water. The strong shall be as tinder, and the work of it as a spark. Both will burn together. Survive as much as you like by any cunning, by any dismissal of God. But both will burn together. Those who will not, despite their predicament, receive the majesty and the wonder of God. The strong shall be as tinder. Oh, glory and your strength. God mocks it as in Psalm 2, remember? The strong shall be as tinder. The weak as a spark. Both will burn together. Take your survival and burn. Is the message, if, to revert to our text, if you refuse the invitation, I repeat, never forget, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Amen. Heavenly Father, what glory is in your grace? What stupendous wonder is in your wit and wisdom? What a divine venture, adventure, solemnized by your knowledge of all things, but not made easier. We thank thee for thy travails in Christ. Amen. Thank you.